It's another Sunday afternoon and time once again for Wordplay. I'm your host, Jeff Davis. Joining me in the studio today, Abby Wendell. Hello, Abby. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Jeff?
Good, good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be looking at the work, or hearing the work, really, of Leanne Brown. With Leanne's work, we're never far from song. In fact, she sings in all three of the sets that we'll listen to today. The first reading from Malaprops, held September 21st, 2002, as part of Black Mountain College Museum and Arts Center's Under the Influence Festival. She was joined by her sister Beth, a violinist, and Cajun fiddler, and Beth's husband, Raid Rawani, on oud.
I'm really excited to be here. Except I am from North Carolina, but this is like the first time I've ever been invited to read here, so it's really great. And I'm really excited to have my longest collaborator with me, Beth. And we honor the forerunners of the poets of Black Mountain. But before I even heard about any of that avant-garde stuff, we were going to Girl Scout camp, a church camp at Camp Okanichi and Lake Lure and Old Fort Camp Greer. So we're going to share with you some of our first inspirations, our first forerunners, or as Ray Johnson in the film today said, the first modicos.
I like that word.
Here's a poem I wrote for Beth later. In about 15 years later than that, it's a ballad, just like you had. So it's appropriate. I love when readings cross over like that, like a string trick. So this is a ballad for Beth. Car games. My head flopped on her lap in the seat as if dead. She yelled for a cop. Dead head, Gergie's poor tender head. Disembodied from the front, to stop the fight, our mother's hand made circles in the night. We made up a very dangerous trap to fill ourselves with pleasurable dread. The cars behind ours never would stop, stealing little children to use for their bread. Gray car, we said with a gasp as the headlights hit us through the backseat in red. Vampire cars circling the night. Our third game after the engine lull nap was to call on Spirit World and see what they said about us and our futures and when it would stop. Our faces projected as if from the dead onto rear window, the stars for our shade, an illusion on glass with the aid of the light of cars passing and passing away, circling the night. We made a cave, a fast-moving bed, in between all the gangsters and spirits and light. Didn't matter where, what direction we sped as we lived in our little circle of night. Thank you, Beth. And I have a few to read some of these. This is called The Ballad of Vertical Integration. Has anybody read Harry Golden's book, Only in America? He was a civil rights worker in Charlotte, North Carolina. And wrote this about his theories and his parodies, and it's contained in this song. So, Ballad of Vertical Integration for Harry Golden. Civil rights was brewing in a Charlotte coffee shop at an orange juice bar called Tanner's down near the main bus stop. Cross of Trade and Tryon where the Cherokee once hunt. Harry Golden cast his shining eye on a way to make his point. In a country of strangers from either side of town, there were only certain places everybody could sit down. Here black and white, both alike, stood up and drank their juice. Eureka, Harry Golden cried, that's the way to call the truce. Take out all the chairs from restaurants, cars, and schools. Take out all the benches, make way for other rules. If some folks can't sit down somewhere, then everybody stand. We'll learn and eat vertical integration in this land. He printed up his paper, The Carolina Israelite, Only in America, he then went on to write. Gold dust shines in red clay we pass on from the past. Harry, thanks for tickling our funny bones to help the changes last. Now it's year 2002, just look around you how. Things aren't quite as far along as they ought to be somehow. This ballad is a call to arms to open up our eyes. Each and every one of us, golden can arise. For each and every one of us, a rainbow is the prize. Civil rights. And here's a collage poem. Is this okay with the sound? From my sentences lifted from various of my mother's letters. My mother's a very great written regular letter writer from south to north to keep me in touch with everything. There's always, like, you know, the same beautiful opening about how glad I was to hear your voice on the phone the other night. It always starts with how glad, so that's the name of the poem. And there's always a paragraph about the menu of the week, so the food part. You know, my mom. How glad, amazing sentences from mother's letters. For the time being, the doll is in the freezer, but that will not solve the problem forever. When I got the house all decorated with dogwood branches, which I had forced, plus camellias, and put the Ukrainian eggs you gave me on my popcorn dogwood branches, we were all ready for company. If you are acquainted with any nutritional, quote, health nuts who have some new suggestions and recipes, please send them on. I served slaw and Herlocker's barbecue heated in the special sauce which Bob had gotten on Highway 29. At one point, he turned several somersaults on the floor while he continued to play the instrument, which was curved in shape. This past week, I went to Black Forest Bookstore, where I asked the owner to help me find a book that would be especially good for Esther Masti Prince's grandchildren when their mother dies of a brain tumor, which may be very soon. That's true. We were amazed to see the children's choir was made up of 9 Hmong children plus 6 American blondes. Whoever has the most pennies in the jar has to kiss a cow, perhaps a calf, on December 10th. She told me that she was going to Washington to see that Dutch artist's exhibit with, quote, someone else. I cooked thin, lean pork chops. I want to read a few from Polyverse, which is here on the table. This is a four-liner. Cafeteria, iced tea, cream corn, fried okra, plus one meat. I pledge allergy to the flail of the United States of Amigo and to the reputation for which it stands, one national park, under Godmother, indivisible with lice and kebab for allegiance. I pledge allegory to the flagellant of the United Statistic of Ammunition and to the reproduction for which it stands, one naughtiness, under good, indivisible with lick and juvenile for anatomy. I pledge a allelomorph to the flagelliform of the United State of the Art of American English, and to the repudiation for which it stands, one nationalism under go-getter, indivisible, with library science and juvenile court for alleluia. On my hop, I will try to serve Godmother my coup de grace and to live by the give-and-take scramble lawn. On my hoodlum, I will try to serve goose, my coupon, and to live by the gladioli scrap heap laxative. On my honors of war, I will try to serve go-go dance, my country music, and to live by the gizmo scowl lawyer. And that was written by a noun plus 7 game from the Oulipo avant-garde group in France. So you just look up any text, look up the nouns in the text, in the dictionary, replace it with the 7th noun down, so you can make your own literature using this formula, a simple formula, noun plus 7, with 3 different dictionaries. That's what that was. Okay. Now here's this poem for Beth in Polyverse. Sill Song for Beth Brown. When you're gone, is the rented room other than quiet for hymn singing? Straight music, non-existent. Your playing makes living scribble. quatrain small as the hall or long as the going on of summer slips white cotton swinging at obas in that old picture. Too late to call sister, even if zones time her bed. Rumbling water, colder butter, two words jump across a card. Stilted lyrics quilt a needle, not thinking of weirder dinner. Biddies nibble in a box, mail to you to start a farm. Moving jitters, present timing, counted pout, looser choice. Read it over, reconsider, nylon sakis, chicken pockies. Rhythm silly when you think it, sneezy, pretty, crepe and crush. And here's a poem I wrote right after I went to John Cage's wake in West Beth, and I met Jasper Johns. There's a lot of names in here of people. I met Jasper Johns with Bernadette Mayer, introduced me to him, and she came up to him and just started bowing to him. It was great. And then I said I was a poet. I knew he had spent time here, and I said I was a poet from North Carolina, and he said, it must be hard to be a poet from North Carolina. I was grateful he said that. But this is called Discontinuous Auto Harp for Rebbe Sharp. Oh, how you undo me, raspberry phosphate. Raptors from the rafters call me Rhapsody and Gumball Kazoo. Consonantal harmonies adrift. Lazy boy rafts Richmondesque. Gape odalisque refigures teething, mortals at last outlined. The farthest south Jasper can imagine, a gay plum bun, a purplish herd. I want your lyric sheets. Here's the $2.45 plus postage. Falling down on the Job, quietly elevating babies. Hymn sings amongst the decay, raccoon bats with rabies. Tar buckets filled with guess what kind of snake-like autochthonic scales. Tectonic plates shift under Chris, my friend and fresh met frisker. Too tiny for words, much less song. Where does poetry belong? Everywhere or in that little box? A gentle rod spoils no child. Sweet fathers I know and mothering, blue books and goddard girls, slighter mercies figure in my mouth. Surprising metallic retail Joan shows up amongst the unknown uncle in gray turt, looks spiff. No spliffs but tamales filet. Bear reads wine and bows for mercy. Missed it, Jasper. Says it, sister. Then in cat favor, deliberately shies from meaning. Clearly stanzas must stand for transfers. Sevens, eights, or song. I've always been a visitor. Where's my absentee ballet? Quilting is not one of the skills a longer line might consist of. Cat skill association at best, Beth balls the jack and salty dog rags. No more slavery above the trembling bed. A robin redbreast in a cage while visions of sugar plums dance in our head puts all of heaven in a rage. Despite clinging peaches, the South maintains its sticky hold. As that moss dies away, a new kudzu emerges in the water this time. Here's another sort of southern poem. This is my sort of Gillian Welch mode. It's not a song, though, but it's Dogwood Day Parade. Have you heard this one? Dogwood Day Parade. We were going vanilla ice cream instead. Never got to see the Dogwood Princess. Never saw her. Flowers pinned to her dress, or maybe dressed completely in them from head to toe, atop an ice cream float in giant woody dogwood blooms. The nail holes of Jesus' dire, dried blood affixed to their four leafy petals. Green and brown anthers in their middle headache, the green man, her husband-to-be. But Janie sings, Jesus loves the little children, into the mic as mom's white Chevy pulls off south into the wind. I wanted to read an excerpt from this Ariel magazine that was dedicated to John Cage. This is Cage's art. There was a similar print that I saw in the Asheville Art Museum a few months ago. They had that Cage show. And it's, first I want to read a little bit from one of his misostics. You know, where he writes down the middle, a word, a phrase. The phrase down the middle of this one is, a dead man takes a skull covered with paint, rubbing against canvas, skull, skull against canvas. And it says, art is either a complaint or kind of thing uncalled for in a just as good is that it's fragmented, in is a involved art is either the question of what is a work won't be, else my experience of life is that splitting the idea of air in breathing in and out. Like my work to have some vivid indication of a large city and traffic there, it's that it's very fragmented in one place. Certain kinds of things occur and canvas, I suppose, proceed. So think I have something to be folded or bent or stretched? A criticism of new art as new art offers of old. When I can to what degree upon itself, so that the music idea of art is as new thing, as standing shape is not a color. Aspects and movable aspects amount to different kinds of space. The idea of background and background something. The condition of, except the not willing to, thing I like, what impulses at times I will attempt to do, as background for use, a real fork as painting, then it is to use music now. It about a bit is not a cover, it with background for skull. Thing so as two things uncalled for in the painting, so that the work won't proceed so logically from where it is. Anxiety, some question about the use of the word in the representation of a thing as being the real thing and the thing I like. Movable entities splitting the objective space old art offers. Cover it with music. Idea of neutrality, air, and the idea of air in space being times. I will attempt to do something movable, aspects to of that tragedy, left over some kind of anxiety, some question about the use of the psychological level, but air in breathing in and out led me to use the word. So he's a major inspiration of someone who works in a lot of different mediums, the painting and the happenings that we're trying to sort of recreate and this kind of very abstract poetics that's music itself, but has really explosive, playful meaning to it. And then just as a contrast, I want to read this one paragraph from his macrobiotic cooking book. I think it's a real metaphor for the way he works also. This is his recipe for gruel bread. And the ideas came, he credited the Tassajara book, but it's in his own language. So go through the refrigerator, collecting food you no longer wish to eat. Rice, beans, cooked vegetables, or raw, parsley that's turned yellow, etc. Include any liquids you may have saved, such as water from parboiling string beans. Put through the Cuisinart and measure. Add more than an equal amount of whole wheat flour. Do not work with more than 5 to 7 cups of gruel at the same time. Mix and then knead, adding dry dill weed if wished for about 45 minutes or an hour until it is consistent or, quote, all of a piece. Then put in oiled bread pans. I use corn oil. After putting it in, take it out. And put it back in upside down. I forgot that part. This oils the entire loaf. Take a wide knife and make a deep indention down the middle of the loaf. Cover with damp cloth and leave it in a warm place overnight. In the morning, bake at 375 degrees for 1 hour and 15 to 20 minutes. So I want to invite Beth and Rayed back up to do just the last few pieces. Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. This is Rayed El Rawi, my beloved new brother-in-law. A great painter and musician, plays the guitar and the oud. He's a wonderful painter also. So another multimedia person. So we're going to do... Red fox jump into my path, shining there in the sun. Then he gave a little laugh, flipped his tail and run. Blackbird drinking in the water grass, twinkle in his eye. Feathers shine all purple green, then away he fly. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I'm calling. Shady Grove, my little love, you're the one I'm telling. Chickadee rustling in the grass, spider on my thumb. Dragonfly is on my knee, I am not alone. Chipmunk hanging from a straw, baby as he could be. Then he showed me his little eye and his soft belly. Looking for the one I love, could that one be you? Looking for the one I love, one who'll love me true. Shady Grove, my little love, Shady Grove, I say. Shady Grove, my little love, I'll be back someday. Do not touch the columbine, leave it there in the sun. It'll fade right in your hand, see what you have done. And our last piece, we're going to do one more. It's a very short collaboration, and I wanted to also urge y'all to go see Lisa Jarneau and Mike Bond read tomorrow, because one of these is by Lisa, if you don't mind me doing it again. But this is The Three Graces. Ed Sanders asked us to write new versions of Amazing Grace, so I wrote one. The first verse is by me. The second is by me and Lisa. I think Lisa wrote most of it, but the third and fourth verses are by Bernadette Mayer, my great friend and teacher in New York. So,
amazing grits, how sweet the red eye that flavored my liver mush. Collard greens and chicken fried iced tea, lots of lemon with mint crushed. Amazing space, how intergalactic the wormhole that beamed up a quark like me. I once was Kirk, but now I'm Spock. 'Twas Tribble, another quantum reality. Amazing grace, I have loved you ever since we're in grade 1B. You wore shirt. To please, I wore a pleated one. But we were both hoods then. You are a psychologist. I please by not mentioning my case to you too often. So please, Grace, let's at last go to bed together again today in apartment 9B. Thank you. Thank you, Beth.
Oh, listen to my story. I'll tell you no lies. How John Lewis did murder poor little Elma Wise. He told her to meet him at Adams Spring. He promised her money and other fine things. And a fool like she met him at Adams Spring. But no money did he bring her, nor brother fine thing. Go with me, little Naomi, and away we will go. We'll go and get married, and no one will know. She jumped up behind him and away they did go. But down to the river where deep waters flow. John Lewis, won't you tell to me your mind?
You're listening to Wordplay on WPBM 103.5. Asheville, North Carolina. Today we're celebrating the work of Leanne Brown. This next set will feature a reading celebrating the Beat Poets held at the Black Mountain College Museum and Art Center in 2005. Leanne read some of Ginsberg's work, accompanied by the Jare Jazz Trio, and then sang a cappella arrangements of Blake songs developed by Ginsberg and Ed Sanders.
And the other main thing I really loved about Ginsberg was it's funny because he had this really wild kind of language play himself, like Wichita Vortex Sutra. I mean, that's the most language play you can get. But he would always say, you know, do very straightforward kind of Reznikov reporter type poetry. That's everything's very clear in straightforward sentences. And I was doing these wild kind of language plays, so we always had discussions about that. But my main joy with him was listening to him sing, even though he couldn't sing really well. I loved his spirit of just going for it. And like everybody can make music, you just bang on something. It's charming to use any kind of tunes you have in your head from your childhood or from blues or whatever songs appeal to you. So I just want to, in honor of that, just do a few songs I learned from just hanging around him and listening to him play. Also, I'm going to do some from the Fugs as well, mostly the Blake. This is in honor of my two-year and two-month-old baby, who's down in Charlotte with my parents right now, Miranda Lee, Reality Torn. Infant Joy. Her picture's in the Asheville paper today with me for this reading.
I have no name. I'm but 2 days old. I happy am. Joy is my name. Sweet joy befall thee. Sweet joy befall thee. Pretty joy. Sweet joy but 2 days old. Sweet joy I call thee. Thou dost smile, I sing the while. Sweet joy befall thee, sweet joy befall thee.
and Ginsberg made up that tune. He heard Blake singing to him, and that was the tune that Blake gave to Allen in Harlem. And this is by Ed Sanders. Ed Sanders was a younger poet then. Now he's in his, like, I think he reached 65, 70. He's the main person in the Fugs with Thule Kupferberg, and they he did a lot of settings inspired by Ginsberg, and he set Blake as well. And this is How Sweet I Roamed from Field to Field. Anybody know that one? And this is like a sort of a country version. He was very informed by his church roots as well. How sweet I roamed from field to field and tasted all the summer's pride till I the prince of love beheld who in the sunny beams did glide. He showed me lilies for my hair and blushing roses for my brow. He led me through his gardens fair, where all his golden pleasures grow. With sweet May dew my wings were wet, and Phoebus fired my vocal rage. He caught me in his silken net and shut me in his golden cage. He loved to sit and hear me sing, then laughing sports and plays with me. Then stretches out my golden wing and mocks my loss of liberty. And Blake wrote that when he was 14. A flower was offered to me, such a flower as May never bore. But I said, what a pretty rose tree, and I passed that sweet flower o'er. Then I went to my pretty rose tree to tend her by day or by night. But my rose turned away with jealousy, and her thorns were my only delight. And her thorns were my only delight. That's Alan. And Blake. Garden of Love. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? Gave thee life and bid thee feed by the stream and o'er the mead. Gave thee clothing of delight, soft as clothing, woolly bright. Gave thee such a tender voice, making all the vales rejoice. Little lamb, who made thee? Dost thou know who made thee? Little lamb, I'll tell thee. Little lamb, I'll tell thee. He is called by thy name, for he calls himself a lamb. He is meek and he is mild. He became a little child. I a child and thou a lamb. We are called by his name. Little lamb, God bless thee. Little lamb, God bless thee.
I want to do one more a cappella, A Sunflower. This is Ed Sanders' setting of Blake.
A sunflower, weary of time, who countest the steps of the sun, seeking after that sweet golden clime where the traveler's journey is done. Where the youth pines away with desire and the pale virgin shrouded in snow. arise from their graves and aspire where my sunflower wishes to go.
PVM 103.5, Asheville, North Carolina, and today we're celebrating the work of Leanne Brown. Leanne and her husband, Tony Torn, now own a house in near Marshall in Madison County, just north of Asheville, so they're in town quite often. This past January, Leanne came by the studio for a conversation and read some recent work as well. What have you been working on since The Sleep That Changed Everything, which your book from Wesleyan University Press, wonderful book.
Yeah, well, I have this one manuscript that sort of directly follows that, sort of a catch-all. I feel like it's sort of the continuation of how poetry is manifested in my own life story, kind of.
Uh-huh.
But it has more poems about sort of like, you know, courtship and marriage of my husband, who I've now been married to for almost 6 years, but
right.
Tony Torn and... So this got some occasional poetry around that.
Yeah, your life has been through some major changes. Yeah.
And there's a whole section on kind of the one that's still being worked on is just the stuff. Is that the more political part about the 9/11 stuff and the Iraq War and Katrina poems? Oh, I have those. I could read some of the Katrina poems.
Those
are in pretty good shape, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the whole third section is about the birth of my daughter, who's now 5.
Right.
And sort of these love poems to her. And the first sort of a document of the first 2 years every month or so. And after she was 2, we started writing together. So there's a whole other manuscript of our collaborations called Soft Hornet, which is a new kind of green that she made up.
Huh, Soft Hornet. I like that. Yeah.
And then there's this whole other manuscript I have called Filter, which is about these love potion poems written during performances and films in the dark, scribbled in the dark during movies and during concerts and things. Over 20 years, actually.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And, you know, the muse is particularly active when you're, like, supposed to be doing something else.
Right. Yeah, I have to, like, railroad my conscious thought is to get the other stuff coming out.
Well, do share some of that with us.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about, I just pulled up these three Epithalamian love marriage poems. That one of them is one I actually wrote for my own wedding, and I put those together with two others I wrote for other people's. And this one is based on a song that all y'all probably know, but it's The Water Is Wide.
Ah, yes.
The water is wide. I cannot get o'er, neither have I wings to fly. Give me a boat that can carry two, and both shall row. My love and I, down by the river, there lies a spring. Its waters heal most any pain, and you, my love, you do the same. That's why I've come to bring you home. All people that on earth do dwell, please hear my song and heed it well. We're all alone unless we know divine love will flow through others' hands. These hands can hold a page or pen, or in them mine own. From age to age, we've many days to cross the stage. And when night comes, we'll be as one. Oh, love is handsome, and love is kind. Fair as a flower when it is new, some love grows old and waxes cold, but ours renews like morning dew. Oh, love is patient and love is kind, believes all things, endures all things. Make love your aim, I'll do the same. Our many ways and pleasures tend.
Lovely version of that.
Thank you. I haven't read it in a long time.
Yeah, that's a lovely, lovely version. I forget between our encounters that you can actually sing. I mean, so many poets, of course, should not and cannot, whatever their best intentions. But you actually have a lovely voice.
Well,
so, yeah.
I hope it sounds all right with all the radio stuff, because so many layers of music happen on the radio. I always wonder how the single ballad voice holds up sometimes.
Yeah,
I think it does, usually.
It usually does, yeah. And that's a really, really interesting, because you combine, of course, some of the traditional elements of the song with your very own text. This is, you know, you've been working with ballad forms for a while, and sometimes dismembering them, that was to deconstruct them in your earlier work. And now, clearly, you're working within it quite comfortably.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes that also happens. In New York, I write the more deconstructed ones sometimes. In North Carolina, I get into the
the actual,
the spirit. I keep them real, whatever. But no, it's not totally true. But yeah, I feel like I haven't gone far enough. But in both ways, I mean, I feel like I want to write more genuine ones and more totally exploded ones.
Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like a lot of the ones I've done are sort of subverted, but they're not tweaked totally. But that reminds me, though, I am looking for some women who want to sing some ballads I rewrote and hymns I rewrote, that, and some crazy Girl Scout songs that I learned in the North Carolina mountains at Camp Okanichi.
Oh, yes.
At Lake Lure and Camp Greer and Old Fort at church camp, all these songs that are sort of like music hall songs that are rewritten, like three chartreuse buzzards sitting in a dead tree, with, you know, complete with motions. But there's a song cycle that has been put together by myself and my husband Tony, who's a great director, and I usually just read these, you know, these poems in context of readings, but he helped me shape that into a more theatrical piece we did in New York at the Bowery Poetry Club and at Barnard College. And I want to do a version this coming summer. So I'm looking for women that want to sing uh-huh. ballads and hymns and just natural voices, not like not a lot of vibrato, like mm-hmm. not a lot of operatic or anything like Italian. We did have one singer in New York that was operatically trained, and it came across beautifully. Once she got into the ballads, she really mm-hmm. was wonderful. But I'm more interested in like church voices,
plain song.
Yeah, plain song. Right, yeah, people right. that like to sing and just want to do it together in an ensemble. And we're gonna, I guess we'll be looking for people this spring. And then in Marshall, we bought this church in downtown Marshall. It was the old Methodist church where the Arts Council used to be, across from the fire department. We're going to make a performance space, and our goal is to do a production of this piece and a few other plays this summer.
Oh, as well. Fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us, how did you come to buy the church in Marshall? What was the impetus there?
It's a long story, but I just always had this idea. I'd like to have a church I like to live in a church, or I had this idea that I wanted to have like a bed on the altar and watch movies. I just grew up in the Presbyterian church, like in Charlotte, and I realized that's where I got a lot of my prosody, mm-hmm. hymns and things. And mm-hmm. Emily Dickinson had that similar mm-hmm. structure. That's where I got a lot of my ideas what poetry might be. And my mother is very strong in that tradition. She gave me a lot of hymns and I just like the church as a social and spiritual center. Mm-hmm. And there's all these churches that are becoming vacant, and I thought they'd be a good use of the space is to do arts and do like a, arts as a healing mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And of course, the St. Mark's Poetry Project in New York City, which I've worked with for over 20 years, is in a church.
Right, in a church
it's
also.
Part of their, but it's an active church, an Episcopal church, but their mission is to help the artists in the mm-hmm. East Village and the city to realize their works. They have mm-hmm. dance space and a theater called the Ontological Hysteric Theater that Richard Foreman does, and in the Poetry Project itself.
Yeah.
But I just this church became available in Marshall, so we got it, and now we have to follow through. Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. Well, I know you've been talking for a couple of years about finding venues in Marshall to stage events,
right.
readings, and so on, poetry festivals, whatever. And now you have the space, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to more things coming down the pike.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's.
I want to read another epithalamium.
Please do.
For Rebecca Delinsky and Frank. Her name's Frank, actually. Frank Merle, who's a. Rebecca is an American painter who lives in Paris. And Frank is a mathematician, a French mathematician, and they were married just a little bit before I was, about 6 years, 7 years ago. And he's a mathematician, so I used some mathematical terminology, and I interviewed them a little bit about their relationship, so I got some information. So it's also an acrostic that has their names down the front.
Oh, cool.
So it doesn't rhyme or anything, but it has their names embedded in the poem. Rare Wild Equation, Epithalamion, for Rebecca Delinsky and Frank Merle, plus Frank Merle. Rare Wild Equation, is this an échange de boucle or an échange de alliance? Her curls spiral on a z-axis, centrifugal. Can love be a white fountain? Oh, delineated space beyond the black hole. Oceanic sine waves linger on a corner in the farthest quadrant of this new address. The aesthetic laws of sun travel here from the temple in the village with tea from the frozen mountain to kiss yellow, fire, rose, ebony, beryl, eglantine, celadon, cassis, apple, plus frankincense, rhinestone, angelica, nocturne, chromium, cobalt, which finds a real way to work it all out, improvised, improved, neither friction collides. Kindly, as the laws of bodies in motion eclipse any prior definition. I went around the world to marry you, said Frank, and quoth Rebecca, it took 11 years to walk 3 blocks to get my dress. Let us be true to one another, so everyone here present today stand to celebrate the first of the wedded days and nights to the nth degree unaccountable set before these two conjoined as one. So I will do commissions for epithalamion if anybody's getting married around here. If you want a strange, great poem. Here's another one that's based on a hymn from Euphrosyne Bloom and Martin. What was it last name? I don't know, Martin Wildwood hymn. All hail the power of Lammas tide, earth, water, air, and fire. The blue moon beams her blessings down to wed them. We aspire. The blue moon beams her blessings down to wed them. We aspire. All rocks, all trees, all waterfalls, all fireflies in flight, bring forth the flowery diadem and crown them day and night. Bring forth the flowery diadem and crown them day and night. All hail the power of Euphrosyne and Martin wed as one. The orbits of all heavenly spheres, all planets, stars, and sun. All hail the power of Euphrosyne and Martin wed as one.
Very nice. Very nice. When did you start doing epithalamions?
Oh, I did. I think the first one I did, it was for Lisa Smith and James Yamada, who were up. They got married near here, near Lake Lure. Hmm. And I was going to their wedding, and I just wanted to, they'd asked me to read something at their wedding, so I did it for them. And that's actually the last poem in my last book, is that piece that it's based on, you know, crowned him with many crowns.
Yeah.
Crown them with fiery crowns. I could do that one too. Overkill on the epithalamia, but it's the very last one. And then it splices into Be Thou My Vision. And then I used that actually in my own wedding too, so I thought it was a good poem. But that's a tricky thing with, you know, occasional poems, is to try to make a poem that stands up as a poem itself after the fact that the occasion is over. Mm-hmm. And my main inspiration for that, of course, is Frank O'Hara with all his wonderful birthday poems, like Michael Goldberg's Birth and Other Births, or, you know, the ones for Jane Freilicher and Bill Berkson, Biotherm for Bill Berkson, just these particular poems to specific people that are just amazing, just, you know, gifts to people almost, but they just go all over the universe, you know. Yeah. That's my aspiration.
Yeah. Huh. You seem well suited to it. Yeah. I'd say it's working. So what else have you been working on besides your epithalamians?
Well, I have some elegies. You want some elegies?
Elegies, sure. Yeah. Another classical form. Yeah.
Here's one I wrote for my uncle, William Wilson Brown, Jr., who died about 2 years ago. He lived in Charlotte for many years, and he lived in Caracas, Venezuela, and Madrid. And he was my father's older brother, and he was very influential in my life, because he was very, very kind of, he's the only one in my family that went up to New York and everything. Like, he's very cultured, and he loved opera and loved classical music. But he was also, we got into big fights because he didn't like old time music, and he just called it like briar hopper music. He just was so disdainful, because he grew up in Charlotte when WBT was on the air, and and there was all, everybody's going crazy about
Arthur
that.
Smith
and he just would find the classical station and tune into that, and he didn't want to hear about the briar hoppers. So I think I probably mentioned that in here, but I actually read this at his funeral in the, you know, First Presbyterian Church in North Carolina, and actually I could, you know, I was, that was a good, I just was, I never thought I'd be reading a poem, you know, to there, you know, it's like Ode to Uncle Billy, Over and Out. I think this, the first part, I think, I stole from Loreen Nedeker, from a poem to Winston Churchill or something. Telegraph to Telstar, the tramp of time on the McNeil Lehrer hour. Blowing rock lifts up its leaves on the updraft. When they get to a certain age, come down, spend time. A wind will come through the branches of the tallest trees, and you were a mighty tall tree. A source of early memory, staying up late in Spain, or tasting first strawberries and asparagus in Aranjuez. Word has it you were amazed to cure me of a crying fit by blowing a mote of dust in the sunlight so my parents could have a little time to walk in a castle. Thank you for smocked dresses you brought every airport Easter aloft in pastel egg colors unveiled for me and my sister. Our mother kept them in the closet, ready for daughters in stair-step sizes to come. Months ago, my Miranda rode your foot like a horse. You looked at each other in wide surprise, eyes open. Mom caught the moment in a photograph. There are so many more, like the one of me riding on your back in this self-same living room on Beverly Drive, one of your childhood homes, where before I remember your father in winged chair and similar brow, where your brother, my father, still abides. Uncle, grandfather, Billy, and Bobby, linked in intricate bonds, analogous pair, as only brothers can be. Our many family dinners, where words like Undaraga and Rioja rolled from your tongue in brilliant Castilian during mi comida, you took me on a foray to Harris Teeter to rescue the New York Times recipe for filet of sole veronique from a can of fruit cocktail. Send them all my best, you said. A gentleman, master teaser, people remember what you say. Sounds like Briarhopper music, and Wagner's got a lot of noise, just a lot of noise. You preferred Verdi and choice cuts of string quartets, your complex particularities across the ages, rarefied cufflink stacks of the century's best news. You repeated to me, write it up. I wish I could write a September song, a beautiful tribute to a good man, in terms that would expand and remind us again to savor each other, all family and friends, like fine wine, a communion to pour, recur, recite, renew, in many daily details, in ceaseless replication, in future memory, reverb, fugue, variations on a life, irreducible, a true original, a human music I am fortunate to have heard for as long as I can remember, and will carry me with me as I go.
Wordplay for this week. The French Broad Institute of Time and the River is now open in downtown Marshall, and we'll be featuring several performances there on future wordplays. Check the station website, wppvm.org, and naturespoetry.blogspot.com for more information about today's show. Thanks for joining us, and happy birthday, Leanne.